Oops, I forgot some stuff, like a lot of stuff. So let's dive back into Chris Redfield. Come on, it's okay. The water's fine. I promise. I would not steer you wrong. Following Raccoon City, Redfield and Jill founded an anti-BOW agency to investigate Umbrella and destroy bioweapons. In early 2003, they heard reports of mutant wolves attacking in the Caucasus region. Upon arrival to the nearby village, they were attacked by zombies. After clearing them out, they investigated the town, eventually finding a little girl named Anna hiding inside of her house. She described to them the wolves attacking and spreading the infection, her mother turning, and her father hiding in the closet. She also told them how the adults often gathered at the silo. Redfield and Jill figured that if they were any other survivors, they would have hidden in the silo as well. Entering the silo, they found it deserted, except for the corpse of a village chief, seemingly frozen to death in the refrigerator. They discovered that he froze to death to escape the zombies, which quickly set down upon them. The three tried to run outside, but found the door blocked from the outside. Before they were overwhelmed, Redfield shot at the flower packages lining the walls and created a distraction. After narrowly escaping by hiding in the fridge, Redfield and Jill exited the silo to find Wesker outside, who congratulated Redfield on his dumb luck. Redfield accused Wesker of being behind the events of the village, but Wesker insisted that it was nothing more than an accident, claiming that the village was cursed. At the moment, the ground collapsed near the entrance of the silo, releasing two hunters. Redfield demanded that Wesker tell them what they were doing under the village, but Wesker ignored him and left, leaving Redfield and Jill to fend off against the hunters. They manage to get into the car and use a grenade launcher there to destroy the hunters. After, they went off in a pursuit of Wesker, who, they noted, headed for the village. Arriving at Anna's house, they found Wesker attempting to access a safe. Wesker explained that Umbrella had set up multiple hangars all over the world and that most of this village were actually Umbrella employees. Furthermore, their leader had collected data in this house. At this point, Anna revealed that her father had given her a pendant, which Wesker took and used the pendant as a key to the safe. However, the safe contained an explosive meant for Anna's protection, forcing Redfield, Jill, and Anna to escape. Redfield and Jill discovered from Anna that her father worked at a factory at a nearby chemical plant belonging to Umbrella. Joining a regional biohazard containment unit, Redfield and Jill carried out a full-scale assault on the Caucasus facility, which was believed to be housing a new type of BOW after being dropped off. They proceeded to storm the facility, destroying any of the Umbrella's old bioweapons they encountered and skillfully avoiding traps. Eventually, they were confronted with a new experimental bioweapon, codename T-ALOS. Sergei Vladimir revealed himself to be the creator and sealed Redfield and Jill inside the T-ALOS containment room and activated the monster. Sergei taunted them, announcing that as fellow soldiers, Redfield and Jill know the feeling of being alive in a battle before revealing T-ALOS as if to say no amount of battle experience is enough to defeat this new BOW, having no choice but to fight. Redfield and Jill were successfully able to defeat T-ALOS, finally ending Umbrella once and for all. After escaping the facility, Redfield and Jill still lamented that Wesker was still out there. Though their troubles with Umbrella were over, it would only be a matter of time before they would be dealing with Wesker again. Unbeknownst to them, Wesker had actually infiltrated the same facility in order to take out Sergei Vladimir. After Umbrella's collapse in 2003, it became clear that the rogue researchers succeeded in selling the company's assets off to the black market, with the terrorist organizations and rival firms acquiring them. In response to this new threat, Redfield and Jill helped to find the Bioterrorism Security Assessment Alliance, BSAA, dedicated to stop the creation and usage of the bioweapons. In 2005, a year after the infamous bioterrorist attack, known as the Terra Guriga Panic, the BSAA was informed about the resurrection of 2Veltro, the bioterrorist organization that destroyed the Aquapolis. In order to investigate this rumor, BSAA Director Clive R. O'Brien sent Redfield and his new partner Jessica Sherwat to a mountain range in Valkoinen, Mokiki, Finland, where Veltro's hideout was rumored to be located. Once in the area, however, Jessica and Redfield suddenly lost contact with the BSAA headquarters, forcing the two to proceed with the mission without radio support. In the meantime, Jill Valentine and Parker Luciani launched a rescue mission in the Mediterranean Sea to locate them. According to the last known coordinates issued by terminals, Jill and Parker learned that Redfield and Jessica were somewhere in the ocean, possibly aboard a ship. This leads Parker and Jill to an investigation on the Queen Zenobia. Arriving at the peak of the mountain, Redfield and Jessica witnessed a terrible crash of a cargo plane nearby. Searching the crash site, they find traces of a virus along the mauled corpse of the pilot, who was suspected to be Veltro operative. Following a path, Redfield and Jessica rush through a mining area, a shortcut to the hideout. While in the caves, they were attacked by several mutant wolves infected with the T-Abyss virus. During combat, Redfield's leg was injured, but was still able to defeat the wolf pack with Jessica's help as she made her way to his location. At the end of the caves, Redfield and Jessica discovered an airbase used by 2Veltro as a hideout. Soon after this, O'Brien finally managed to contact his agents and was informed that 2Veltro was active once again. Redfield and Jessica received bad news. Jill and Parker had gone missing during the last operation to find them, and it was possible that Parker and Jill had been captured by the 2Veltro. Redfield and Jessica immediately returned to the headquarters, taking a chopper and setting off on another mission to find the Veltro's ghost ship. However, there was no further information about the cruise ship's current location. Under Redfield's suggestion, O'Brien sent operatives Keith Lumley and Quint Ketchum back to Valkoinen McCoy Airport in order to find any data that could give the BSAA the exact coordinates of the Queen Zenobia. This mission was accomplished, allowing Redfield and Jessica to locate the cruise liner. Landing on the ship's deck, Redfield and Jessica began the search of their lost comrades, fighting off hordes of mutants. However, they soon realized that this ship was actually the Queen Semiramis, a carbon copy of the Zenobia. Revealing this mistake to O'Brien, Redfield acquired the actual location of Queen Zenobia. While approaching the Zenobia in a boat, Chris were attacked by the unknown sea monster, but they managed to frighten it off and ensure their entrance to the ship. They finally found Parker and Jill in the ship's casino, where Jessica shot off an unarmed Veltro agent, much to Redfield's surprise. Unmasking the dead agent, they discover that he was in fact Raymond Vester, an FBC operative. After this, Redfield partnered up with Jill once more, heading to the ship's lab in order to stop the T-Abyss virus before it contaminated the sea, while Parker and Jessica search for a way to delay the Queen Zenobia's sinking. Once in the labs, Redfield and Jill managed to neutralize the T-Abyss virus once and for all, not knowing their actions were being monitored by Morgan Lansdale, the mastermind behind the Terra Guriga panic. By the way, sorry if I butchered that. It's really hard for me to say. While escaping the sinking ship, Jill and Redfield found a wounded Parker while shot in the leg by Jessica, Morgan's mole. However, they were unable to save him from the seemingly falling to his death, though he managed to survive. Outside the Queen Zenobia, the two were attacked by the same giant BOW that Redfield and Jessica fought, but they managed to destroy it with the help of Kirk Matheson. The mission was not over yet. Director O'Brien came clean with Jill and Redfield, telling all about the Veltro conspiracy, orchestrated by himself. He also confirmed the existence of third ship Queen Dido. In order to retrieve a video containing the proof of Morgan's schemes, Redfield and Jill headed for the Dido's remains, beneath the Terra Guriga ruins. Discovering that Jack Norman, leader of 2Veltro, was still alive inside the wreckage. Filled with a vengeance against Morgan, Norman injected himself with the T-Abyss virus, becoming the powerful Ultimate Abyss. After a grueling fight, Redfield and Jill were able to destroy the creature, retrieving Norman's PDA and revealing the truth of the Terra Grigia, causing Morgan's arrest and the decline of FBC. After the BSA's reformation as a Global United Nations Special Operations Unit, Redfield became a Special Operations Agent. Partnering with Valentine, the two became engaged in various operations, including bioweapon terrorism, interdictations in Asia, destroying bioweapon laboratories in South America, and arresting traffickers in Europe. Redfield then received the Level 10 Action Authority in the BSAA, and the number of operations he actively participated in elevated him to the top among all BSAA members. In 2006, Redfield and Jill received a tip-off from a reliable source detailing the former Umbrella's founder, Oswell E. Spencer's location, and the pair intended to raid his hideout and arrest him for questioning. Entering the estate, it was not long before they discovered the bodies of Spencer's bodyguards, who are already brutally killed through unconventional means. Both of them had to survive and endure numerous puzzles and traps built on the estate while fighting the multiple guardians, which relentlessly pursued them throughout their mission. Proceeding through the estate's gardens, they fell through an old bridge and landed in the sewers below, losing most of their equipment in the process. Defenseless, the agents relied solely on their wits to outsmart and eliminate the remaining Guardians of Insanity before making their escape from the sewers. When they arrived at the last hallway in the estate, they discovered more of his bodyguards horrifically murdered outside the entrance. When they opened the last door where Spencer could be hiding, they are greeted by Wesker, who just killed Spencer a few minutes ago before their arrival. A brief battle soon followed. Although the two put up a fight, both Redfield and Jill are easily beaten by Wesker's superhuman powers. And just as Wesker was about to deal the blow that would end Redfield's life, Jill launched herself at Wesker, hurling the pair through the nearby window and into the chasm beyond the cliff that the estate was built on. Redfield could do nothing as he watched his partner fall to her death. The BSAA conducted a 3-month search for Jill's body, but with no success. As a result, Jill Valentine was officially declared dead in the line of duty. For the next 3 years, Redfield refused to believe that Jill died and put himself into every mission available with the hopes of finding some kind of lead to Jill's whereabouts. Redfield eventually got wind of some rumors saying that Jill was still alive, although he was never able to confirm the rumors until 2009. So in 2009, Chris Redfield became possibly the most active and respected member of the BSAA across all branches, participating in more missions than anyone else, and was largely responsible for their success. In March, during one of his investigations, Redfield discovered an upcoming plan of a bioweapons deal due to occur in the Kijuju Autonomous Zone of Africa. Redfield was sent to Kijuju alongside with his new partner, Sheva Alomar, as well as a BSAA Alpha team, to arrest a bioweapons dealer named Ricardo Irving, with connections to the rumored Ouroboros virus. After Redfield and Sheva met their contact, Reynard Fisher, who provided them with equipment and the mission details, they proceeded to their rendezvous with Alpha team at the deal coordinates. Encountering and fighting the locals who had been infected with Las Plagas and turned into Magini, the mission starts to go awry when Redfield and Sheva witness Reynard being executed by an angry mob, as well as discovering that Alpha team had been almost completely massacred, apart from Captain DeChant, who was mortally wounded. Before passing away, DeChant revealed that the deal was a setup and handed Redfield a hard drive containing data he retrieved from Irving. The pair received orders to relay the data through a computer at the nearby storage facility. However, on the route, they encountered a new type of BOW. Infected with Ouroboros was the same responsible for the deaths of Alpha Team, but they were able to defeat it. Arriving at the computer, Redfield uploaded the data to HQ, who reiterated that capturing Irving was their top priority and instructed the duo to head to the mines past the train station, despite Redfield's apprehension. On the way to the next objective, Redfield witnessed his air support, Kirk Matheson's helicopter, being attacked by Capepio and crash land further into the town, switching his priority to the crash site in hopes of rescuing him. Arriving at the crash site, he found Kirk's body charred on the top of a pile of burning tires, leaving Sheva and himself vulnerable to an ambush from a Magini motorcycle gang. However, they are saved by sniper fire from Delta Team, meeting Captain Josh Stone, who passed on the analysis of headquarters data to Redfield and confirmed that Irving moved into the mines. When Redfield looked at the data, he noticed a picture of a woman bearing a strong resemblance to Jill Valentine, causing him to have brief flashbacks of the Spencer Estate investigation. But ultimately, he shrugged them off and continued with the mission. Making their way through the train station and mines, Redfield and Sheva managed to corner Irving in a building by Mines Cliffside. But a diversion allowed a mysterious cloaked woman to save Irving from capture. Having lost the target, Redfield checked the files that Irving left behind, which hinted at an oil refinery in the marshlands being Irving's next destination. But he focused on a rendezvous point with Delta Team's first member, Dave Johnson, transporting Sheva and himself to a meeting point. When he arrived at the rendezvous, it appeared that Delta Team had also been mysteriously wiped out. However, upon further investigation, he soon met the culprit of the massacre. I'm not exactly sure how to say this, but Nadesu, so I'm going to go with that, who crushes Dave underfoot, but which Redfield and Sheva put down with the help of mounted machine guns. Upon Sheva's disheartenment at the demise of her comrades and her suggestion to back out, Redfield told her that he had a personal stake on the mission, citing that he had received intel that Jill Valentine was still alive and that the data they recovered from HQ confirms his suspicion, leading Redfield to open up to Sheva about the Spencer Estate investigation. Redfield and Sheva made their way through the land of the Dapaya tribe, oddly coming across tents bearing the logo of Tricell, a prominent pharmaceutical company. Upon arriving at the refinery, they surprisingly met Josh Stone, who survived the Desu massacre. He stated that Irving would blow up the facility in his escape, suggesting they try to catch Irving at the docks, but failed in their attempt and only just managed to escape on their own boat before the refinery exploded. Fighting through the oil fields, Redfield caught up with Irving's boat and boarded it, confronting the arms dealer who out of desperation injected himself with the dominant species Plaga and mutated into a giant sea monster. Redfield and Sheva managed to defeat Irving in this form, separating him from his massive husk and flinging him back onto the boat. Before Irving perished, Redfield accosted him with questions about Jill and Ouroboros, but got angry when he recognized his name, leading Irving to direct them to a nearby cave. Upon arriving in the cave, Josh bid a farewell to Redfield and Sheva as he attempted to get backup for them. They proceeded through a large set of underground ruins and eventually came across an old umbrella laboratory where the progenitor virus originated from, along more links to Tricell. Redfield eventually discovered a large containment room full of capsules used to store test subjects, where he used the control system to see if Jill was among them. But as the platform lowered down, he and Sheva were attacked by a large creature known as a U-8, promptly stopping the platform and forcing them to wrestle back control. However, in the end, Redfield was greeted to an empty capsule. Excella Gion, the co-founder of Tricell, finally appeared to Redfield, gloating and refusing to tell him of Jill's whereabouts. As he proceeded further into the lab, Redfield overheard a conversation on his comms between Excella and Albert Wesker, alerting to him that Wesker also survived the Spencer Estate. After meeting Excella in person, they followed her to the Monarch Room, being ambushed by the cloaked woman before Wesker made his appearance. Redfield demanded to know from Wesker that the whereabouts of Jill, and was stunned when Wesker revealed that the cloaked woman was none other than Jill herself. Despite his attempts to snap her out of Wesker's brainwashing, Redfield and Sheva were overwhelmed by Jill and Wesker's combined force. However, as Wesker prepared to leave, Redfield broke through to Jill and caused her to struggle against her programming, making Wesker increase Jill's pain and turn more primal, inadvertently revealing the device on her chest controlling her actions, which Redfield managed to forcefully remove. While Jill became dizzy and faint, Redfield was relieved that she was alive and back to her senses. Jill urged Redfield to stop Wesker before he could finish his preparations, and despite his initial refusal due to the concern of her safety, he reluctantly left her to give chase. Redfield and Sheva pursued Wesker and Excella aboard a large tanker, fighting their way across the deck of the ship and reaching the inside, where they encountered Excella once again. Demanding answers from her, she instead ran off in a panic, Escaping the room and dropping a briefcase containing several injectors carrying the serum PG67A-W. While not knowing its use, Redfield surmised that it must be important if Excella guarded it so badly and kept some on himself just in case. Redfield eventually caught up with Excella, now limping and writhing in agony after Wesker revealed that she was infected with Ouroboros, and upon her mutation into Ouroboros Ahiri. Redfield and Sheva retreated to the bridge, where they were eventually able to defeat her with a satellite laser device and turn their sights to Wesker. Shortly before the encounter, Redfield received a call from Jill, who explained that Wesker needed to inject himself with the serum, the same one he recovered from Excella, to keep the virus inside of him stable and that overdosing it would poison him. After finally encountering Wesker and having a tough brawl with him, Redfield and Sheva managed to outsmart him and inject him with the serum into his chest, causing him great pain and forcing a retreat to a stealth bomber, with Redfield and Sheva only barely boarding it in time. The fight continued in the cargo bay before Redfield managed another injection in Wesker's neck, labeling him as just another one of Umbrella's leftovers. Managing to take advantage of Wesker's weakness, Redfield opened the cargo door and sent him flying across the room, only for Wesker to desperately cling to Sheva's leg, and as Redfield watched, images of Jill rushed through his mind as he remembered how he thought he had lost her trying to kill Wesker. Before Sheva could sacrifice herself by letting go, Redfield managed to grab her, allowing her to shoot Wesker and send him shooting out of the plane. Crashing into a volcano, Redfield and Sheva emerge from the wreckage and find Wesker still alive and angry, puncturing a container of Ouroboros and mutating himself. The pair had no choice but to retreat, but were separated after the ground gave way under Redfield. Redfield did his best to fight Wesker on his own, but soon Wesker diverted his attention to a stranded Sheva, forcing Redfield to use a huge boulder to bridge the gap between them by punching it like a badass. The pair then made their final stand against Wesker, and eventually they were able to stun Wesker long enough to have the ground beneath him give way, causing him to fall straight into the lava as Jill and Josh arrived overhead in a helicopter. Redfield just manages to escape the lava as he climbs aboard before Wesker goes for one last ditch effort and stretches his arms to grab the helicopter. But Redfield and Sheva use the onboard RPGs to obliterate Wesker once and for all. In the aftermath, Redfield finally realized what he had been fighting for, and although he felt he had accomplished all that he had set out to do, he knew that it was only a matter of time before someone like Wesker showed up again. For this reason, Redfield decided to go back to working in a team, passing on his knowledge and skills to a new generation for when that day finally came along. On December 24th, 2012, Redfield, now ranked as a Special Operations Unit Captain, Nivens and a group of consisting of Ben Earhart, Carl Alfonso, Finn McCauley, and Andy Walker, are dispatched into the Eastern European state of Edonia, where the new BOW species known as the Javo are granted to the rebels in the midst of a civil war. After discussing their plan of attack, Redfield provides words of encouragement to Finn, the rookie of the group, before moving out. However, as they approach the point of Two of Hearts, Redfield and his team are ambushed by a troop of heavily armed Javo, having their armored personnel carriers destroyed in the process. The situation became even worse when a massive ogre man was suddenly released into the battlefield. As Redfield and Pierce faced the infected creatures, Finn managed to use the remaining APC firepower to injure the giant creature, forcing it to flee. After that conflict, Redfield led his team to the Edonia City Hall. Alpha Team was forced to do another battle as an injured BSAA member was found in the middle of the bridge that connected the Two of Hearts section to the City Hall. Redfield proceeded to rescue his fellow soldier as Pierce provided cover fire. With Finn's help, Redfield managed to rescue the injured soldier. Having crossed the bridge with the Alphas, Redfield ordered Finn to blow the bridge up in order to stop the incoming group of Javo. Eventually, Redfield and his squad came across a DSO operative, Sherry Birkin, whom Redfield recognized from Claire's stories, and mercenary Jake Mueller, who Sherry was tasked with protecting. The introductions, however, are cut short when the group was attacked by a duo of ogremen. One was dispatched by a helicopter as the other from the Two of Hearts section returned. Redfield and his squad teamed up with Jake and Sherry to defeat the creatures and brought a helicopter in to take Jake and Sherry to their destination. Before they departed, Redfield, believing that Jake looked familiar, asked if they met, but Jake responded in the negative. Making it to City Hall, the group encountered numerous chrysalids and eventually a woman in a blue dress, claiming to be Ada Wong, who told them that the BOW, including Javo, are created by the C-Virus, and an organization calling themselves Neo Umbrella are the ones that supplied the virus to the rebels. Though suspicious about her, Redfield agreed to escort her out of the building, only to fall into a trap. Ada cut Redfield and Pierce off from the rest of the group and trapped the other four in a cage before launching a needle bomb that infected Andy, Carl, Ben, and Finn with the C-Virus. Redfield and Pierce could only look in helplessly as their squad mates mutated into chrysalids and hatched into Nepads, which proceeded to attack. Redfield was beaten senselessly by the Nepad that was once Finn McCauley and had to be dragged out to safety by Pierce. The duo was saved by the BSAA support troops who killed their mutated comrades, and an unconscious Redfield was taken to a nearby hospital. Upon regaining consciousness in the hospital, Redfield suffered from post-traumatic amnesia, and he was unable to remember who he was or what occurred. However, racked by an overwhelming and inexplicable guilt, Redfield ran away from the hospital before anyone could check on him. For the next 6 months, hoping to dull the pain, Redfield became a moody and violent drunk, staying in a hotel frequenting a bar in Eastern Europe, where the female bartender and the patrons called him the stray dog, and gained a reputation as the bar's worst customer. Redfield also made some money to fund his rent and a bar tab by doing bodyguard work, all of while Pierce and the BSAA worked to track him down. In June of 2013, Redfield, now a mere shadow of his former self, was finally tracked down by Pierce at the bar that he frequented at. When he was asked to leave by the bartender, he refused. Another patron stepped in to help her, only for Redfield to snap and physically attack the man, nearly hitting him with a bottle before Pierce stepped in. After expressing his disgust about how far that Redfield fell, Pierce forced Redfield to confront his past by showing him the images of their deceased comrades and the tragedy in Edonia to little avail. However, when Chris recognized the BSAA logo on Pierce's jacket, all of the bar's patrons revealed themselves to be BSAA operatives in disguise, while Pierce told Redfield he belonged with him and they are taking him back to duty by any means necessary. Though still unable to recall the incident, Redfield agreed to come back and was quickly dispatched to the YA up in the Chinese province of Lanshang, which was in the midst of another Neo Umbrella bioterror attack. The mission was to raid a building in the Point Ace of Spades, where a few captured UN members are held hostage by the bioterrorists. Crossing the streets, Alpha Team immediately came into contact with the Javo, which was the same type of BOW fought in Edonia. Approaching the Ace of Spades through the roofs, Redfield and his squad managed to neutralize the incoming infected. Once inside the building, the hostages are released. However, BSAA's headquarters ordered an airstrike to the area as Redfield and Pierce barely made it out alive. Upon seeing a cluster of chrysalids, Redfield finally recalled the Edonia incident and vowed to get revenge on Ada for the deaths of his men. On their way, a BSAA soldier was attacked by an invisible monster. Redfield decided to chase the creature and put it down. They soon encountered Jake and Sherry, who went missing since Edonia, and protected them from the swarms of Javo. However, when Pierce suggested that they should escort the two, Redfield coldly reminded him about their mission and departed. Making their way through the slums of Wyup's Poisawan district, they are attacked by the Illuzija, a massive snake BOW with camouflage capabilities. The abomination brutally killed all of them one by one until only Pierce, Marcos Rose, and Redfield himself was left. With the assistance of his fellow soldiers, Redfield managed to fry the monster using the building's electrical system. Unfortunately, Ada reappeared and shot Marco with a C-Virus-equipped dart before escaping. Marco rapidly mutated into a Gnezdo, forcing Redfield and Pierce to kill him. Afterward, when Redfield expressed his frustration, Pierce angrily told him that they could have prevented some of their squad's deaths if he was not so focused on vengeance. And when he went so far to accuse Redfield of forgetting about their mission and state that he felt sorry for all of the men who died believing in him, Redfield snapped and then briefly came to blows, ending when Pierce remarked that he was glad that Finn was not around to see him like this. Nonetheless, they continued on. Redfield and Pierce were later ambushed by a helicopter in the Wyatt River, though they managed to destroy the armored vehicle. Seeing Ada enter a warehouse, Redfield and Pierce entered in pursuit of her, unaware that Leon S. Kennedy and Helena Harbor were doing the same. Though they managed to corner her, Leon arrived just in time and prevented Redfield from shooting her, resulting in a brief fight between the two before they drew their guns on each other. Leon told Redfield that Ada was a key witness and that they needed her alive, while Redfield shouted that Ada was the actual mastermind behind everything, only to be told by Leon that the real culprit was none other than National Security Advisor Derek C. Simmons. Though Redfield told Leon that he lost all of his men because of Ada, Leon replied that he lost over 70,000 people, including President Benford, because of Simmons, and made it clear that he planned on defending Ada despite full knowledge of her alliance in Neo Umbrella. In the midst of the confrontation, Ada used a flash grenade to escape from the four. Redfield and Pierce began to pursue her, but Leon stopped Redfield and told him that they both wanted the same thing. Finally snapping out of his revenge-fueled rampage, Redfield resolved to stop Ada, in the name of justice rather than vengeance, leaving it up to Leon and Helena to take care of Simmons. Redfield and Pierce pursued Ada to the docks in a turret-equipped jeep, managing to get on her freighter and corner her on a bridge where Ada revealed her master plan, to spread the C-Virus all over the world and create the new Raccoon City incident, on a global scale. However, just as she told them this, one of Simmons' henchmen arrived in a helicopter, promptly shot her in the chest, causing her to fall to her death. She left behind her suitcase, which contained a syringe full of enhanced strain of the C-Virus. Redfield and Pierce subsequently learned that a nearby ship was equipped with airburst missiles filled with the C-Virus, in gas form, aimed right at the mainland. Hijacking a jet, they attacked the freighter but were ultimately unable to stop the missile launch, which quickly turned most of the city of Tachi's population into zombies. Afterward, Redfield was contacted by Leon, who requested that he save Jake and Sherry from their imprisonment in Neo Umbrella's underwater facility. During this conversation, Redfield was shocked to discover that not only did Jake possess antibodies to the C-Virus, but he was also Albert Wesker's son. Making their way to the facility, Redfield decided to retire from active duty after they rescued Jake and Sherry and passed his position on to Pierce. When they met up with them, Redfield revealed that he was the one who killed Jake's father, leading to a tense moment in which Jake held him at gunpoint. Redfield admitted that he had every right to shoot him, but Jake managed to stop himself, telling Redfield that there were more important things at stake than the two of them. On their way out, however, the Ultimate BOW halves, which was meant to spread the C-Virus all over the world as Carla intended, hatched from its cocoon and attacked. As Jake and Sherry made their escape, Redfield and Pierce remained behind to destroy Haos. During the fight, Haos severely damaged the facility and managed to grab a hold of Redfield, while Pierce suffered a severe injury that crippled his right arm. With no other way to save Redfield, Pierce deliberately injected himself with the C-Virus strain they had previously procured, gaining the ability to shoot electrical blasts. Now fully regenerated, Haos broke out of his chrysalid and attacked the two agents. However, its decreased size and vulnerability allowed Pierce to shoot electrical attacks that enabled Redfield to equip his combat knife and attack his vulnerable organs, which badly damaged the creature. It made a final attempt to kill Pierce, but Redfield was able to rescue him, and the two of them destroyed the BOW's remaining organ, supposedly killing it. Though Redfield repeatedly reassured Pierce that he would be alright and they would get out of there as they made their way to the escape pods, Pierce, realizing that he would eventually lose control and mutate completely, deliberately shut Redfield into an escape pod alone and launched him out, remaining behind to die with the facility. However, Haos recovered and attacked Redfield's escape pod in the water, only to be electrocuted and finally destroyed by electrical blasts from Pierce's transformed arm before the facility exploded. The following morning, Redfield was rescued by the BSAA. After the Lan Xiang incident, Redfield continued to serve in the BSAA as a field captain, even more committed than before, deciding to honor Pierce's memory by turning his retirement down. At one point, he went back to the same bar that he routinely visited in June, though now able to remember his identity and overcame his drinking problem. A BSAA soldier under his command interrupted his meal, informing him that headquarters had new orders for them. He then left the bar and went on his next mission against bioterrorism. Shortly before July 2017, Blue Umbrella asked the BSAA to send Redfield for assistance for upcoming missions in Dolvi, Louisiana, which he begrudgingly accepts as he didn't fully trust them. The goal of the mission was to apprehend Lucas Baker, a suspected associate of the criminal organization, The Connections, who was in possession of the mold bioweapon. Just as his unit arrived at the Baker residence, they witnessed the BOW known as Evelyn, and her mutated form erupt from the house, and attack civilian Ethan Winters. Redfield's team assisted Ethan by dropping him an Elbert-01 handgun loaded with ramrods to finish the monster off. After the battle, Redfield had Ethan and his wife Mia evacuated via helicopter. Redfield continued his operation, looking for a missing unit of three soldiers in the salt mine while pursuing Lucas. Although Redfield soon found the first missing soldier, he was attacked by Lucas, who attached a plastic explosive to Redfield's arm, shortly before detonating another explosive which killed the hostage. Instead of turning back to remove the bomb, Redfield instead decided to move forward, as he refused to let Lucas escape. After headquarters confirms Lucas's relationship with the Connections, he boldly proceeds through the mines in search of the other two operatives. Throughout Redfield's exploration, he encountered the WM series of molded and located the other two missing operatives. However, Lucas soon killed them both through his traps and then set off a timer on Redfield's bomb. With the help of HQ, Redfield found liquid nitrogen and froze the bomb and disposed of it. Headquarters suggested to Redfield to check beyond a shield door, where once inside, Lucas locked Redfield in and set it on fire. Unbeknownst to Lucas, Redfield was able to survive the trap, and Umbrella intercepted his email to an unidentified buyer which informed them he was about to send the data, which Redfield ultimately had to prevent from happening altogether. Now with the element of surprise, Redfield caught up to Lucas but was jumped by him and attacked with a knife, which forced Redfield to shoot him, inadvertently triggering Lucas's mutation into a large monster. This meant Redfield had no choice but to kill him. And after a short battle, Redfield was able to eliminate Lucas once and for all, shooting up Lucas's hard drives to prevent the data transfer and being called back to Umbrella's local base camp. At an undisclosed time, Ethan requested that Redfield search for Zoe Baker, in hopes of saving her. Weeks later, Redfield responded to Umbrella's forces calling for backup at the base they set up in front of the mansion. His team arrived to find that the unit was unfortunately wiped out, but that Zoe was safe with her Uncle Joe Baker. After moving everyone out to a lab tent, Redfield called Ethan to inform him of Zoe's successful rescue and handed over the phone to her so the two could finally reconnect. Now see, that's why I said that I had to make a part two to this, because the first one was kind of short and I left a ton of crap out. So this one is obviously going to be a hell of a lot longer, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the story of Chris Redfield as much as I like telling you guys the story. But I will definitely see you guys in the next episode. And like I said, see, the water was not so bad. So thank you for joining me, guys. I'll see you in the next one. Bye!